goodness of the Lord, how my heart rejoices about Sunday at this church and Sunday night. And I appreciate the Lord stirring our hearts and giving us that we need out of the Word of God. And boy, I sure did enjoy the group that come to sing. There's a blessing, and I appreciate the Lord talking. Aren't you glad we got a God can talk to us? And now it's up to us what we do with the conversation. Amen. Romans 13, he says in verse number 11, "And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Thank you for standing tonight, of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. I pray now You'd take us a few minutes. Let us be a blessing to Your people. God, would You anoint Your Word tonight? Lord, would You let preaching, would You let teaching be easy? I pray You'd send us that exactly what we need in our hearts, God, in our spirits. Lord, I pray we'd take this tonight, Lord, and use it, try to live out of it for Your honor and glory. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done here Sunday. God, we need You at our church, and we want to lift Your Son high and holy. Oh, help us tonight. Thank You for these good people. God, the sacrifices they've made to get here tonight. Now I pray, Lord, You'd give them a blessing for being here. Be with the youth out back, God, the children below, each teacher. Help them, Lord. Bless them, I pray, for that they're doing for Your kingdom tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. I'd like to preach tonight out of verse number 11, "And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." And I want to preach on, what time is it? What time is it? Could preach on sleepwalking. You know, I had a tendency when I was young to do some sleepwalking. Mama would wake me up sometime and I'd be in the cupboards pulling the pans out. I guess I was hungry hunting a midnight snack or something, but I found myself sleepwalking. That's a lot like us Christians. We love to walk around in sleep. But tonight, I want to ask you, really, what time is it in the day that we live? I realize I have a watch tonight. It's about 7:45 in our world. But I wonder, really, on God's watch, on God's clock, what time it is. I'd like to say, first of all, tonight, it is time that we be awake. Now, if we would be awake, we might see what's happening. I seen a commercial this evening. Don't really know what they were advertising, but there was a husband and a wife in a recliner. She was knitting. He was reading the paper. They were sitting there den, and so water was coming and rising up in the house. And it overtaken the recliner, and the door opened, and it just poured out of the house. I got to thinking about in Noah's day, that's the way people was doing. You know, they'd heard that the storm was coming, but yet they just kept sitting around. I think a lot of times in our life and in our church, we know what's coming to pass, and we've sort of went to sleep about it. Now, I want to say that first time, it's time to be awake and see what's happening. Boy, we need to wake up to praying. Wake up to praying. Our church is never going to do much till we get in the measure of praying. Now, we can look spiritual as we want to look. We can come to church and go through the routines, but till we really petition God for what we need in our church and in our life. Now, I don't know about you, but my home needs praying tonight. My life needs praying. I need to be able to talk to God. And I can't talk to God with sin in my life. And therefore, I've got to try to live a life that's holy and acceptable unto the Lord. But I'm glad that we can go through the great intercessor tonight, being the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm glad that we can access God. A lot of people say, well, I pray. Well, if you're not saved, you can't talk to God. Because he said this, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who paid himself a ransom for all. Now, a lot of people say that all roads lead to heaven, but this King James Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to him except by his Son. And I'm glad this evening that I've been there by Christ. Therefore, I can access heaven by his Son. When I pray, Jesus assures me that my prayer gets unto God. He's our intercessor. And oh, tonight, it would be a blessing if we could wake up in our Christian life to this thing of praying. I wondered tonight in Matthew 26 and 36 if you'd watch this verse. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. He took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples, and boy, look what he finds. He findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, wonder why he didn't say anything to James or John. But he said unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now we need to be awake to our praying. Have you prayed today? I hope you realize what God done here Sunday. I've been praying for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. I preached on leaving our first love. I preached on the church that makes God sick, that Laodicean spirit that everybody just sets back and saturates in the goodness of God and everybody's waiting on the other person to do something. But I sure am glad that God stirred this pot up in here Sunday. And I hope it carries over for a year or two. Amen. But let me tell you, it ain't up to God now. It's up to us from what He's done said and what we do with. Children, could I encourage you to be about the Father's business in your praying tonight? Oh, I wish I could get every member of Liberty Baptist Church to pray. Every member in this church, a church that has been used so of God. Oh, how I wish every Christian here tonight and on the sound of my voice had a place that you pray. Would you get you an altar? If you're too busy to get an altar, you done got way too busy. And you know, Mom and Daddy, some things that is so simple. I have a place that I pray in my study. It's simply an armchair. I keep a cushion there by it. Got a hardwood floor. I pull that cushion out every morning. I put my knees down on this cushion. I put my face in the lap of this chair. There I begin to pray. And God, I put on my heart many times, many of you and the needs of the ministry and needs of other pastors and preachers that across this country, many missionaries. And oh, how, and wouldn't it be a blessing if we could get to praying turned up in our church, if we could just wake up to the thing of prayer. Prayer does change things. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some of you older folks tonight, I realize you might not be able to do a lot of things like you used to do, but you know what you could do more tonight than you've ever done? Pray. None of us have no excuse about praying. Boy, what an honor, what a privilege to be able to talk to the God of all gods, The God that said, I can open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I think a lot of times the devil's told us what's the use. And he sold us out a bad bowl of pottage, telling us in doubt and discouragement that prayer don't change things. But I read about a man, honey, that shut up the powers of heaven 3.5 years because he got on his knees and he petitioned God and he asked God. And tonight, folks, God still honors prayer. I'm thankful for the prayer I prayed one day. Lord, save me. Things got to picking up for me in my life. I sure am glad that He answers prayer. Now, I want to ask you tonight, do you have a place to pray? And everybody in this church, I want to say this. I think a lot of times the devil's beat me down about teaching people about giving and tithing. No preacher really that I know of wants to preach on tithing and giving because it shuts the meeting down. But you know, as a whole, our church is real good on giving and tithing. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. What would change your life is a prayer place. If you would designate a place at your house to pray, it'll change your day. It'll change your life. Let me tell you what. When we've got too busy to pray, we're way too busy. You know, Brother Dean said something that I wish this nucleus of people could get a hold of tonight, and I'd want you to understand what he said. Do you understand God has developed this church and got this church to a place where He's wanting to do bigger things and greater things? God has opened doors for us to go out in other areas of ministry. Brother Dean said, why don't you go with your pastor? What he's talking about is, why don't you send some prayers out with your pastor? Why don't you get here faithful and get faithful for God to back you, Pastor? He's not talking about your preacher leaving. He's talking about you getting involved with what God's doing in the areas of new ministry. And let me tell you, only heaven will reveal the rewards that you'll have at the judgment seat for being faithful at the house of God. Oh my, we need to pray. I wish y'all would pray for me every day. Did you know every church that I go to and preach, when I stand at the door and I see little old ladies come by and their Bibles wore out, you know what I say to them? I don't try to shake their hand or try to say, I simply say, ma'am, would you put me on the prayer list in that Bible? Folks, I need you praying for me. If it's ever been a day in this hour when a man's carrying this Bible and preach and a stand for the truths of the Word of God, He needs His people praying. You need to pray for my wife. If I lose my wife, you've lost your preacher. You need to be praying for our home. You need to be praying for our church. We've got many needs in our church. Young ones sick. Young ones have cancer. Mom and Daddy's counting on us to petition the throne room of God on their account. You better be putting some prayers in the bank. You're going to need them one day. We need each other praying. I want to ask you something. If one man could open up and stop heaven, I wonder where 100 could do with God tonight. He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I wonder if we all petitioned together and really got to praying for our church, what kind of services we'd have. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You've just been with me long enough. I asked you to be patient with me Sunday night. You know what I mean with that? I'm trying to get the gear that God's wanting us here. I'm not happy with deadness. I'm not happy with a Laodicean spirit. I know a lot of you say, preacher, you ought to settle down and be happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy when I see you fall asleep. I'm not happy when I see you hit a miss. I'm not happy with sin in my life. I'm not happy with sin in your life. And we all ought to be unhappy till we're close to God tonight. This Laodicean spirit will just rock us all to sleep. We ought to realize we've got the greatest opportunity of any church in America tonight. We ain't got a vote on helping a missionary. Do you realize the congregations that would have to vote 95 times to do what y'all get done one service? Aren't I telling it right? We've got such a wonderful foundation. Now, what are we going to do with it?
Paul said that he'd stir the gift up in us. We need to be stirred with what God's doing. Like Brother Lee, see, he's seeing the big picture. Instead of seeing they had to miss church and go to Rome Sunday morning with a grandbaby, they thanking him and rejoicing. Thank God we ain't at Rainwater this week. And you know what scares me about a church like this? Because I'm going to tell you something. God's at this place. God wants to do big things out of it. God ain't done here, folks. A lot of men stood 20 years at a place. They think their ministry's over. Mine's just getting started good. I feel pretty good tonight. I know I got a screw in my neck, but I ain't but 52-year-old. Yeah, surely I got 20 years somewhere else. I'm not going to let none of you kill me neither. You can sit there with your long mule face you want to. I'm going to look over you and preach at the next bench. Boy, we need to get back to praying. I wonder what God would do if we'd pray. I wonder what would happen if this morning everybody in this building went to their altar and prayed for this service tonight. You say, Brother Ken, you ain't happy with nothing. I sure ain't. I'm not happy with just going to church. I liked what happened Sunday. I like people responding to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I like going to church, having church. Gas is too. We pay nearly $4 a gallon. It's too high to go to a dead church. I know it's our day, but I ain't got to be happy in it. I ain't got to be complacent in it. And I'm going to kick, and I'm going to cut, and I'm going to gouge, and I'm going to shoot. And I'm going to do everything I know to do to get you to realize how blessed we are at this church. We need to be awake to praying. Acts 20, verse number 6, we need to be awake to preaching. Acts 20. I want to ask a question tonight. Acts 20 and verse number 6. Man, we need to be awake to preaching. Did you know we're a lot better tonight because of preaching? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm a better person tonight because of preaching. And I want to ask this question. We need to be awake. We can see what's happening, what time is. It's time to be awake. Awake to praying. And then Acts 20, verse number 6, Paul said, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And we came the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, on Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Time out. I want to ask you something. Why didn't somebody wake that kid up? Brother Carl Partain preached last night one of the best messages I've ever heard. Brother Carl's known more for his singing than his preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. That Brother Carl's making some more preacher. He talked about Peter getting out of the boat, going to Jesus, and he began to sink. And he said, you know what? He said, I think a lot of times people is drowning and we never know nothing about it. They just won't tell us that they drowned. And you know, now Eutychus, it's no doubt that he sort of distanced himself. I sort of see this young man, Paul's a little long-winded preaching. He starts in preaching. But this thing about when people like preaching, it's hard to cut off preaching. But when you're sitting around wishing you was at a barbecue grill, preaching ain't real easy and it ain't real fun. And if you'd learn to say amen, some of you got your amens broke. You need to tune that thing back up and say amen. And some of you men won't say it. You women need to say it. You need to say, amen.
It means even so. That's right, preacher.
Now, Paul was preaching, and here's a young man. I think maybe he distanced himself.
You know what scares me to death with people in the church? They get distant. And did you know when we get distant, we get dangerous? We don't need to be alone. Alone's not good for us. Eve got in trouble when she got alone. We need each other.
And I just want to ask you something. When somebody seen this boy nodding, I don't think all of a sudden he just went to sleep and fell out the window. I think he nodded a few times. If he's got any type of sleeping disabilities like I got anyway. Ain't it amazing when you're young, you can go to sleep on a flat rock.
And you get older, you can sleep in the nicest bed in the world, still can't go to sleep.
But I want to ask y'all something. Wonder why somebody didn't say something. Wonder why he had to die before somebody went to him.
You say, preacher, what time? Oh, it's time we wake up.
We wake up to praying and we wake up to preaching. Now, the greatest preacher that ever preached behind the Lord Jesus was preaching. It helps me, Brother Mike. It ought to help you. They would sleep on him. They go sleep on us.
Wake to preaching.
And then I think we ought to be awake to possibilities. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 14, I want to remind you folks tonight that we've got the greatest opportunities of any church in America. You know why? Because our God changes not. We have a power within us that this world knows nothing about. Now, in Ephesians 5 and verse number 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now I want to say something right there one second. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. You mean something to this church. We don't want to see nobody die and go to hell in their sin. I think as a whole, our church has lost the vision or the burden of lost people. We've all got loved ones that's never been saved. And if it would ever dawn on us, if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. It's no in between. There's no purgatory. Don't care what you've said. This is the dressing room for eternity. If you die without Christ in hell, you'll lift your eyes. Now, he says, you ought to arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. I realize he's talking there about a spiritually dead person. And if when God deals with you, if you would come to Christ, he would give you light and you could be gloriously saved. There may be some of you here tonight, you've heard that term saved, salvation. You don't know a lot about it. So the word saved simply means to rescue. I'm glad Jesus is our rescue. It's not a religion. Not a Baptist church can't save you. Religion will let you down. A preacher will let you down. But Jesus can wash away all of your sin. I've often wondered why anybody would want to have fire insurance on their house and not have it on their soul. I've often wondered why you'd go to get an insurance policy on things that are temporal. And if that house caught a fire, you'd bail out in the yard in a heartbeat. You'd leave it. But let me ask you this. Why don't you get the best policy on you that's ever been offered tonight? And that's the policy of salvation, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus. He hung on Calvary's cross for you. For your sin and my sin. And he said, we're saved by grace. Grace is what God's done for us through his Son and put him on a cross. And the Bible says he's given every man a measure of faith. Did you know tonight you could access that grace by faith? Trust his Son of what he's done for you and be gloriously saved for an eternal world? Tonight, what a blessing to be saved. He says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Talking about awake to pray and awake to preaching, but now awake to possibilities. Look what he says. See then that you walk circumspectly or upright, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's talk about something right here a minute tonight, and let me close down. Redeeming the time. We ought to be awake to our praying. We ought to be awake to preaching, and as God speaks to our heart, we ought to respond. Let me tell you, God acts so much like a checkerboard. God moves, and He's not going to do nothing till you move in response. He said, walk in the light while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. Now, in preaching, when God puts something in your heart to do and you don't do that, then you've got God stopped, and He ain't going to do nothing till you do what He showed you to do. There's a man called me this week. He said, preacher, he said, God has put three people on my heart that I've got to help. And I know that's what I've got to do. And it's so on me, I'm fixing to give up some things in my life that I've got to do. He said, God spoke to my heart about it. Well, let me tell you, as soon as He does that, God's going to move again. Some of you got God stopped, and He ain't going to do nothing until you done operate in the light He's done give you. Now, redeeming the time, talking about our possibility, awake to possibilities. Look what he says right here. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, it means to buy it up. Hey, a lot of us are behind. I live for the devil way too long. We need to be doing something for Jesus till He comes. Now, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, God can do anything. I showed to you on the screen Sunday morning what God done in Houma, Louisiana. I've never seen that happen before. I'd love to see that again. Nothing's too hard for God. You know, what we've got to realize is, if we will awake to these possibilities and realize God's wanting to use us to do something. And God's wanting to use you to do something. It may be so little, but be a whole lot to God. Now, number one, what time is time we awake? And then number two, it's time that we be about. You see, not only do we find ourselves to where that we wake up, but we need to get up. You ever just woke up and laid in bed? I think Jesus not only wants us to wake up, but He wants us to get up and do something. Go be a blessing to some. Have you ever noticed when you're down and you go to be a blessing to somebody, they more of a blessing to you than what you thought it'd be? I've always noticed about visiting people and shut-ins and people in need. You go there to try to be a blessing, and I be Johnny, they've done more of a blessing to you than you was to them. Now, we ought to be about the Father's business, that heavenly business. John 4 and verse number 35, John 4 and verse number 35, you'll notice that Jesus had this to say. He said, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We ought to be about the heavenly business. God's in the soul business. God's a mission-minded God. We ought to be a mission-minded people. Somebody said today in statistics, as I was reading on this message, said that Americans spend more on dog food in 52 days than they do all year on missions. In America, in 52 days, there's more spent on dog food than a whole year in the United States given to missions through every church in the country. You better thank God He's a mission-minded God and come to where you was. We ought to be about His heavenly business. Those fields are white. Then in Matthew 6:18, we ought to be about our heavenly banking. Matthew 6, verse number 18. You know, a lot of you may have a pretty good bank account down here, but what you got up yonder? Matthew 6 and verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Did you notice nobody else can lay them up for you? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, I've got some guns at home put up in the gun safe, and I sure do like some of them. But I'm not guaranteed neither one of them is going to be at the house when I get down there. I got an alarm set. I got signs in the yard. I got everything but Doberman pinchers tied on all four corners. But I'm not guaranteed it's going to be there when I get home. But look what he says. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. I wish people would get this down. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We need to be awake. We need to be about. When we get awake, we need to get up. And we need to get up about the Heavenly Father's business. We need to be involved in heavenly banking. And then Matthew 5:13, we ought to be about some heavenly behavior. Matthew 5:13. Look what he says. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now watch this. Let your light so shine. Nobody else can let it shine for you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Anybody can retaliate, can't they? Anybody can get even. But he said, you all, to let them see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven. Say, boy, I know you didn't do that, but somebody in you had to do that. What are you saying, preacher? Be awake. Be about. Be about the heavenly business. Be about the heavenly banking. I think a lot of times one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard in my Bible, and I've read it to you a lot, but don't ever forget it. A man died and went to heaven. He is there a few weeks. A man come by and said, what have you learned since you've been here? He said, I learned three things. I learned what a spent, I lost. I learned what a saved, I left. But I learned what I gave, I have. What have you got waiting on you tonight? Be awake, be about. Thirdly, lastly, be alert. Be alert. We ought to be alert about dangers. He said it's high time that we awake out of sleep. We better realize we're in the last days. The devil's not for your children. The devil's not for your home. The devil's made many people believe a lot of bad lies. Let me tell you, folks, it does pay to serve God. You might not have health and wealth, but I tell you what you'll have. You'll have blessings that money can't buy. Could anybody put a price on what we had in this church Sunday? If you got over this service Sunday, something's wrong with you. If God didn't do something in you Sunday, you need to be checking up. We need to be alert about dangers. Now, Mark 14:38, dangers of the flesh. This old flesh is bad stuff, ain't it? Bad stuff. Mark 14:38. One of the parallel gospels of what Mark seen at Gethsemane. Now he says, verse 38, Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is ready. Boy, this flesh is weak. That's why we need to feed the spirit more than the flesh. Did you know, how many of you have got internet at your house? Let me see your hand raised. We'll see tonight. How many of we got internet in the building tonight? I challenge you this. If you'll see me, I can give you some of the greatest preaching sites. And I just challenge you to do this. Still, some nights when you can't sleep, or when you've got 30 minutes, steal away on that computer and click and listen to preaching. See what it does for you. Get off of the slop operas and listen to some preaching. To the Peyton places where everybody's running around on everybody and realize that God ain't within 50 miles of that trash. And go to listen to something to feed your spirit instead of your flesh. We wonder why the flesh is so strong. Because we feed it so much. Flesh loves slop. And I don't care how long you've been saved, it will always love slop. And don't you think that it's because sin is a temptation to you that you're lost? It may mean that you've been more saved than you've ever been saved. It used to didn't bother you before you got saved. Be alert about dangers. The spirit is willing. It's ready. But that flesh is weak. Always remember this tonight. Closing temptation is a visitation from sin. Temptation is always a visitation from sin. Be alert about dangers. Two, be alert about duty. You ever notice what I'm fixing to read to you tonight? Matthew 25:1. I was reminded today, studying this passage. Look at Matthew 25:1. About the bridegroom coming. Talking about awaking out of our sleep. It's high time to awake, to be about, and to be alert. Be alert about dangers, but be alert about duty. Matthew 25. Look what the Bible says. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. They took the lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 was foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, here it is, they all slumbered and slept. You ought to underline that, all. You see, the devil loved to put a spirit of slumber about us that we cease from our duty responsibilities. We have duties as a child of God to be turning the light on in this world, to be salt in this world, to praise Him and adore Him, to get in our prayer closets and pray one for another and have burdens, to be committed. Be alert about our duty. Now watch what happens. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Be alert about our duty. We don't need to be slumbering and sleeping. Boy, we need to be watching. We need to be on guard. Bad things happen when you're asleep. be alert about dangers, about duty. And then we need to be alert about the devil. Last place I go tonight, Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10. Revelation 20, verse number 10. I want to show you a passage of Scripture. I hope it'll help you. Revelation 20, 10. And the devil that deceived them. We'll stop right there. He's a deceiving devil. He's got this whole world deceived tonight. It's not about the one that dies with the most toys wins. It's are you saved? That's the foremost and the most important thing can ever happen to you in your life, to know that you got born again by the Spirit of God. Now you're in the family of Christ and your sins are gone. You've been blood washed by His Son. That's the most important thing. People now, they're climbing ladders that reach us to no place, thinking that's things of importance. He's so deceptive. He'll deceive you that nobody loves you. You know why people take their life? They believe a lie. Nobody loves you. Devil's told me 5,000 times. Them people's tired of you, and some of you are. But it don't matter. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I'm happy with this, but no, I'm not. I'm having a good time preaching here tonight. Am I happy? No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with my own life. I could do more. But if you don't have a preacher that can't challenge you, then you don't got the right preacher. Sure, we got a great work. It could be better. I want to ask something tonight. Miss Sherry's going to come play something for me. I want to say something as your preacher. As your preacher, I want to say this. Can you go to a place and time when the Lord saved you? Can you remember what you was doing and where you was? Are you closer to Jesus tonight than you was then? Or are you further away? We ought to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of this book. The only thing that we're going to have in heaven is what we've sent ahead of us. I'm goal-oriented. I have to have goals. I've always had that mentality of having a goal. I think we all ought to have goals. We ought to have ambitions. God said He'd give us the desires of our heart. But let me tell you something. It don't matter how many acres we own down here, we ain't taking them with us there. I think you ought to have a good job. I think you ought to provide for your family. I think you ought to get all the education you can get. But none of that's going with us. It's what we're doing for the name of Christ that's going in that bank. And this thing about, I said this today to a family that I was talking with. This is why, Brother Mike, I believe this generation that we live in today, that they're not so high and sold out on serving God from other generations, because we live in such a temporal world, a payday short. You know, now guys don't want to start on a drink truck on the bottom to make it to general manager. They want to go in as general manager. You see, a lot of times you think Jesus isn't blessing you because you ain't seen it on Friday. A lot of you, if you worked in a mill Monday through Friday and you didn't get a check Friday, you've got disappointed. I think that's the way the devil has lied to a lot of people in this generation. Well, God ain't done nothing for you. Oh, He hadn't? Well, you might ought to think a minute tonight. You might ought to think where you was. You might ought to think where you could be.
God's been good to us. There's no doubt in my mind, I pastor the greatest church in America. I said that at camp meeting this week. I seen preachers there sort of look off. They didn't like it because they're jealous. I don't care. Brother David told me a long time ago, I better learn to get over jealousy. But we can't stick a flag in the ground and say we've arrived. The minute I do that in my life, I go backwards. Miss Sherry's going to play tonight. I want to ask you something. What time is it at your house? What time is it? If you're here tonight and you've never been saved and you'd like to trust Christ, you ought to step out in that aisle. You ought to come bow your head at an old-fashioned altar. There'll be women or men would come pray with you. And you simply, if you'd trust Christ as your Savior, He'd save you tonight. Mom and Daddies, if I could encourage you more than anything to pray, it would be tonight. It's time to awake to pray and ask God to do something big. He still answers prayers. Why do we expect Him to do something if we're not asking Him to do it? Whatever you need tonight, would you come? The altar is open all around the house.